And good afternoon, Tracy Morgan, of course, with your extended news at noon. And with me for a few minutes is Rachel Campbell. Rachel is the clinical director of the youth services at the Butler YMCA. And as we know, some child care centers have opened, and she can explain the outline of that on what's to open yet and what has already opened. But an interesting topic, because we're all wondering, how in the world do you do this, especially with kids? Those of us who are parents know it's very difficult to keep kids from, you know, being in each other's space, which typically is a great thing. So let's talk to Rachel. Rachel, thank you very much for joining me for a couple of minutes. We appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be able to share what we've put in place in our processes and just share about the why and how we're helping families.
Absolutely. And I want to get into all the details, of course, with cleaning and safety protocols. But let me first ask you this. What was the importance that you saw in reopening?
Yeah, so we all know how drastically everyone's lives changed when the shutdown happened. Kids were, you know, at home with their families and parents weren't working. And, you know, we were all kind of nestled in together there for those few months. And, you know, as parents are now returning back to work, as they get into the workforce, they need somewhere for their children to go. So we've been getting calls for the last month saying, when are you reopening? We're going back to work. We really need somewhere for our children to go. So we knew there was a community need, and like the why, we made sure that we were there when we were able to reopen, that we were there for our community.
And so what's enrollment been like?
Yeah, so we had been a little bit nervous about that, to be honest, because what we were hearing for other sites that had reopened, that they were seeing about 25 to 35% return. And I'm super excited. Our enrollment the first week we were back was about 70% at our main site location.
Oh, okay.
So we were super excited about that because we were kind of blown out of the water with, you know, the faith that our families had in us to return that very first week we reopened.
Now, do you have any teachers that are not coming back? Do you still have the full staff that's going to be helping you out? What's that look like?
So we have a majority of our staff were able to return. We had a couple that, you know, for health reasons are staying home for a little while longer, but 90% of our staff are back and they're with the kids, and it's been a beautiful return. So yeah, we were prepared and ready for them.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what this looks like, because a week has gone by for the Butler Y and His Kids Christian School.
Correct.
I know I said I'd let you lay this out, but I'll just go ahead and mention it since I have it right in front of me. But Butler and South Butler are beginning on June 8th. So we have that in the mix here, too. So what did the first week look like for Butler and His Kids Christian School?
Sure. So for the first week, we had 75% enrollment for our main site. We at our His Kids Christian School location, we had about 35% enrollment, which we expected. It's a smaller location, a lot more rural. So we have a lot of parents that will be trickling in over the summer. They just haven't returned back to work yet. So that's where enrollment was. But in preparation for that, we took several weeks to come up with an operations plan to be able to reopen using the CDC guidelines and recommendations for reopening. We created a systematic way that parents enter the building. Actually, they don't physically enter at our His Kids Christian School. They're checked in outside. At our main site, they're checked in through the front double doors in between the two glass doors. The children are temperature checked and doing a health screening before they enter the building. Once they're cleared there, they are brought by a child care staff, to their classroom. So our child care areas are sanctuary spaces, is what we're calling them, and no one but child care staff and certain administrators are allowed up here, and all adults are masked. Children do not have to wear masks.
Now,
that was the main safety procedures that we put in place.
Was there any logistical issue that differed between the Y building and the His Kids Christian School? Because, of course, His Kids, of course, was a school. So you can kind of get that layout. And, of course, those of us who pass it all the time understand that. And, of course, we know the Y. And that's a whole different setup in the way of a building.
Yeah. So we had to definitely plan for – we had to do two separate opening plans for that, using the same expectations. But, like you said, the layout is different. So, you know, rather than having the check-in be at the inside in that vestibule. We pulled everything outside just to limit the interaction that would happen within the buildings to keep that space completely free of outside persons. So even in the evening when parents come to pick up the check, they're picking up their children outside of the location at his kids. And then here, it's downstairs in that main vestibule again where the pickup happens. And, you know, we have running staff there. We actually call them runners that go up to the classroom to pick up the children at the end of the day to bring them down to their parents. And the same thing happens at his kids where they go to their classroom, bring the kids down to the parent when the parent comes to pick up. So it's, yeah, definitely we've had to increase staffing for those types of purposes and repurpose people to be able to have those strategies executed.
Yeah, let me ask you about the masks, and I'm going to ask you about temperatures here in just a moment since you mentioned both of those. Any nervous kids in the first week of the adults wearing the masks, or do you find that kids of this age are used to this because they've seen it now for 2 or 3 months? Mm-hmm.
To be honest, that was a fear of mine, to see, you know, would they recognize or would they be afraid? What would their reactions be as they came in the door? And to be honest, it went smoother than I could have imagined. They are so used to, it's been 2 months now, they're used to seeing their loved ones with these masks on. They get it. You know, we're talking about it in the classrooms, too, the importance of why we have to wear our masks and what that does for us. And, you know, parents have really done a good job at preparing their kids of what this looks like and the reasons why. So they're not afraid of the conversation either. They know the meaning as to why these masks are happening. So it really has been super smooth, and my heart's so happy because the last thing we wanted was the children to come in and be afraid of the adults that they care for and that, you know, have those relationships. So it's been smoother than I anticipated.
And do you have any kids that want to wear masks? Do they have any trepidation on the whole situation trying to understand it? Because they are kids. I mean, adults are trying to figure this out as well. So in a kid's mind, are they wanting to wear a mask? Are they able to do that if they choose?
Yeah, so that we in our operations plan that we shared with our families, that is an option. If they felt like they wanted their child to wear a mask, that was something we would totally support and try our best to make sure that that was happening. None of our parents so far have made that mandate for their child. We actually had the opposite. When we actually did some polling of our parents before we created our operations plan, we wanted to see what their feelings were. 90% of our parents did not want masks. They thought, you know, our kids are going to be touching it. They're going to be infecting themselves more by putting their hands to their mouth and moving things around. They understand their children, that this would have been more of a deterrent to have them wear masks. And the CDC recognizes that as well, and that's why they didn't mandate that. They understand that that's not something that's really feasible, especially for those really young ages between, you know, 2 and 5.
Right.
That's a tough age to try to wear a mask all day long.
Rachel Campbell with us, the Clinical Director of Youth Services with the Butler YMCA. We're talking about the reopening, of course, the Child Care Center's Butler Y and also his kids' Christian school. A week has gone by for their reopening. Butler and South Butler day camps will begin on June 8th. And let me ask you about the temperature, because again, I'm a parent of two kids, and, you know, when they were that age and, you know, really young, you could have a temperature just because they were ill for the day. You know, it had nothing to do with COVID-19, obviously, you know, when my kids were young.
Absolutely.
So how are you going to handle that? You know, if you have a child come and they have a temperature, that doesn't mean that they may have symptoms.
It's,
you know, what do you,
question.
Yeah,
so,
your thoughts.
And some of the guidelines are saying for adults, you know, maintain, you have them out of work for 48 hours if they have a temperature. But that was understanding that children can spike a fever if they're teething that day. So that is definitely why we took into consideration, have implemented in our plan, that if they do have a fever of 100.4 or greater, they are sent home, but it's just for a 24-hour period without medication. So it's just basically our typical, what we normally have when a child spikes a fever. It's the 24 hours after they've spiked without any fever reducing medication. So that is how we're handling it. We do understand, and the CDC understands, that kids do spike these temperatures. But we are still temperature checking. Luckily, so far, we've not had to turn anybody away for any fevers. So that's been a good thing for us.
Safety protocols for any family members who may be showing symptoms, who may possibly end up with COVID-19. Do you have safety protocols when your kids come, or do the kids then have to stay home for a certain amount of time?
It's a great question. So one of the questions that we do ask when the parents come in is, you know, have they been in contact with anyone? And so or if they've had a cough or fever. And if we do find out that that is the case, then we do have a policy in place to talk to that family about keeping that child at home for a period of time, just because, you know, they've had close personal contact with someone that has COVID. Luckily, we haven't had to deal with that yet. But we know that's a conversation that we needed to have a plan in place for when and if that does happen, and including our staff. You know, talking about that, our staff get screened every day as well before they come into work. They're getting their temperature checked. They're getting questions asked if they've been in contact with anyone. And if they answer yes to those questions, then we, you know, remove them and wait a period of time before they're able to re-enter back into childcare as well.
Rachel, so I'm going to ask you the big question. I know you know it's coming. How in the world do you social distance kids? You know, because that is just one of those things that, again, as parents, you know, parents that are out there know that that's probably one of the most difficult things to do when you have kids.
Absolutely. So before the CDC guidelines came out, that was the biggest fear for us in childcare was, are they going to try to tell us we have to social distance these children? What would that look like? How could we possibly do that? And I was grateful, again, to see that the CDC recognized these are kids. And if we are going to have childcare for children so parents can go back to work, we have to be realistic. So they have stated to keep our ratios, that we don't have to, you know, go down to 50% enrollment to keep our enrollment, but keep our ratios. However, we are not mixing children. So once they are in their classroom, they are in their classroom for the day. We've scheduled gym time so they're not engaging with other children and mixing with other groups. We've scheduled bathroom time so they're not crossing paths with someone in the hallway. So they're really, we're isolating them with the group of kids that they're with every day. We have staff in there that are consistent. They're not changing spaces. So we're just really limiting contact with who they're seeing throughout the day to make sure that they're keeping their groups together and not intermixing.
And I'm just curious, and if you want to throw your thoughts in, fine. I'm just curious on how this will work as we go along in the fall, you know, in the summer, because, you know, as kids get together, germs are shared just naturally, you know, and somebody will get a cold and the next thing you know, it's going through the classroom. But that doesn't mean it's COVID-19. And so that's it'll just be an interesting time.
It will. It's going to be, you know, as we move into fall, too, you know, we're thinking about that as well. And the beautiful thing is, and the crazy thing and the beautiful thing is, day by day, recommendations change. So from the state guidelines to the local guidelines to, you know, Governor Wolf, we've got different things coming out every day. So I know that they are going to have plans in place. And this isn't a conversation that's just a now conversation. It's going to be a conversation that's going to continue throughout the rest of the year. So I know that, you know, we and myself directly are continuing to constantly be on news alert, checking to see what the latest postings are from the guidelines from all of these different areas to make sure we have the best plans in place using their guidelines. And they are changing all of the time. So they will give us their best recommendations, and we will do our best to follow what they're saying. But it is a concern because kids are kids. They will get sick, and we will have to adjust as things adjust with them.
Rachel, talk about how your teachers, your staff, those who may be helping you will be able to help the kids with their emotional health, their mental health, because, again, even as adults, this is difficult. So for kids to try to have to figure this out, I think, is an added layer to what you all have to do. So can you talk about that emotional health for the kids?
For sure. And my other background, other than working in childcare, is a therapist. So mental health is super important in my world. And so we knew from day one when we shut down, wow, this is going to impact our kids and our families. And I can't tell you how many phone calls I've had from parents, you know, just talking about that fear, staff coming in my office and talking about the fear of what next, what is this going to look like? And so we know if the adults are having trouble processing that, oh my goodness, you know, we don't have the answers for our kids either. So I think that's where we talk about the why we are wearing the masks, why we are doing what we're doing, why do things look different, and explaining that in kid-friendly terms. We've gotten some great resources online from, you know, state and local resources as far as some social stories to be able to share with our kids, like in explaining those things on their terms to make it less scary. So we really have a positive attitude with our staff. Our staff are super positive with the kids. So they reflect kind of what our feelings are, and if we're projecting that they're safe and they're okay, they feel that. And I think we're doing a really great job of that.
Right, Joe, another big topic that I need to ask you about, especially when we're talking about kids, is cleanliness. So what is your cleaning protocol, and does it differ from each of your buildings? Again, because his kids was once a school, that is one layout, versus the Butler
Y. Absolutely. So we have definitely changed our cleaning protocol. I mean, we've always, because we're childcare and we are state licensed, we have mandated things that we've had to do all along. But that has changed significantly with the recommendations that have been given out to open childcare based on the CDC. So we have a checklist for teachers that they are completing in their classroom every day, and hourly things that they should be wiping down and cleaning. And we also have staff that are stationed to be able to walk through our high touch areas in the communal spaces to be able to clean that all day long as well. And on top of that, we have hand washing is a crucial right now. We have stations that are for hand sanitizing. There's, you know, along with the masks and all of that, there's the cleaning protocol has definitely been ramped up significantly. And I'm pleased that it's going really well. And it's been a blessing to see everyone kind of jump on board and teamwork to be able to make that happen.
Rachel, if I could ask you another question or two, I'm curious on what it will look like for your camps. Again, those are going to be opening here June 8th is your scheduled date to have those reopen. And that will be the Butler and South Butler day camps, because day camps look different anyway from childcare. They just do. So in this kind of scenario, how are they going to be able to operate and how do they look different?
Yes. So we had to come up with a whole operations plan for camps as well. And we are, our main site, our Butler camp is going to be at Memorial Park this year since we are not opening Armco Park for this season. So we did partner up with Memorial Park and they're gracious in having us for this summer. So we are actually providing a map to our parents to be able to see where drop off and pickup is going to be. The parents will drive up. And they will remain in their car. We will temperature screen and ask the questions. Once the child is clear, they will wash their hands and join their groups. The groups, again, we have several shelters, and they will go to their groups and be able to stay with their groups for the majority of the day without intermixing as much as possible. Being that it is an outdoor camp, there is a time that they may cross paths, but we are really focused on, again, with that, using social distancing the way that we possibly can for kids is to keep those groups from intermixing, and that's our goal. And the same thing at South Butler. It's a little bit smaller of a park, but the same protocols are going to be in place, the drive-up, health checks, and same as with the pickup at the end of the day. The parents will drive up, the children will come to them. So there's as little interaction with outside people as possible.
And knowing that news does change and the protocols change all the time, I'm going to still ask this question, because in the last of what I understood with the playground situation is that they were only going to be used by special groups. Are you one of those special groups? Are you allowed to use playgrounds or not?
No, as of right now, no, at the Memorial Park, at Laura Dora Park, we're still looking at that. But right now, because Memorial Park is used by so many, it's a downtown area park. To open it up to us right now, that's not something that the park is ready for us to have yet. So we will not be using the playground. We do have staff that are trained that are going to be specialists that will run specialized groups and activities. So it's not a big hardship for us to not use the playground because they will be engaged in other activities. But once we move into green, I see that changing. But as of right now, no, we don't have access at Memorial Park for those playground areas.
And do you have a limit to how many young people will be a part of your camps and or child care? Because I'm wondering about those individuals as we go along. Now, camps are camps. So, you know, I understand, you know, once that program is through, it would be through. But especially with your child care, if folks start to go along and maybe in a month or so, you know, they start to come around to say, okay, maybe I want to call you. You know, do you have a limit to the amount of young people that you can take?
Yes. So we do have enrollment open in all of our sites right now. We do have max capacities. We have a max of 96 here at our main site. At EXA, we have a max of 34. And at our camps, we average about 80 at main site and 40 at South Butler. So we still have a ways to go before we're at our max. So we would encourage anyone that has the need to give us a call. And we're seeing every day we're getting calls and people are starting to trickle back in. So definitely give us a call. Visit our website. We have information on our website that can give you, and we're actually working on a virtual tour since we are not allowing parents to come into our locations to tour. We're creating a virtual tour we're hoping to post very shortly so parents can actually view us online as well.
Since I have you, what's the phone number for people to call?
Sure, it's 724-287-4733.
Rachel Campbell, the Clinical Director of Youth Services for the Butler YMCA. Any final thoughts that you'd like to share with us? Again, just as a reminder, a week has gone by for the Butler Y and the His Kids Christian School reopening. The Butler and South Butler day camps, they're going to begin on June 8th. But any final thoughts you'd like to share with us today, Rachel?
I would just love to, say thank you, one, to you for, having us on for today, and also, just to say thank you to the community for trusting in us. And, there's nothing greater than the gift of a child. And we have our families that have such significant trust in us. And that's, evident in our enrollment the way it is right now coming back. So thank you to the community for believing and trusting in the why that we would handle this in the best way possible. And I'm just grateful for them.
Well, thank you for caring about your young people so much, and your teachers and your entire staff. But thank you for doing what you're doing. I appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.